The gospel and sermon lesson for this morning is found in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. You can follow along on the insert or in the pew Bible. Again, John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I read in Jesus' name. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. You might have already seen it on Facebook, but I have to tell this story. Thursday morning before I left for work, Naomi gave me a loving little gesture, and I asked her. She said it was okay if I told this story. She handed me this plastic little heart ring. And as she gave it to me, she said, "Here, Papa, take this so that you can remember that I love you when I don't see you today." And I wore it Thursday. And I'm sure the few people who didn't know what was going on were wondering why a bearded man would be wearing a little pink plastic heart ring. And yet, it touched me. A loving gesture from my child. Every time I looked at my pinky, or it barely fit, so my finger got swollen a little bit, but every time I looked down, I remember that there was a little 4-year-old sweet girl out there who loved me. To prove that he loves us, God also has given us something. He's given us a sign, a gesture of love. And that sign, that gesture, is Jesus on the cross. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can look to Jesus lifted up on the cross and know that God loves us. We can look and see God in the flesh crucified, hanging between heaven and earth, pinned to a cross with 3 nails, and know without a doubt that this is the greatest gesture of love that God has and ever will give to us. As precious as Jesus lifted up on the cross is to us, we often forget how strange and how mysterious and how downright offensive that this sign, that this gesture really is. This text being so familiar to us, it's a good occasion for us to remember how wonderful and precious the cross is for us. John 3:16, in a lot of ways, and sadly so, but it kind of becomes cliche. It'll just roll right off of your tongue, and we hear it so often that we hardly ever think about how precious it truly is. I, in all likelihood, would never look at this ring except for the fact that it became precious to me because of who gave it to me. And we forget sometimes who gave us this verse and the context in which he gave us this verse. The full context of John 3:16 would, of course, go all the way back to John chapter 1, where we read about the Word who was with God and who was God, who was in the beginning with God, who made all things, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. This Word of God became flesh, and He dwelt, He tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And now this Word of God in the flesh is speaking to Nicodemus. And He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man also be lifted up. And Jesus is, of course, referring back to our Old Testament text, to Numbers 21. God's people are whining and complaining for what feels like the 18th time since they've been brought out of Egypt. They complain that there's no water in this desert place, and they whine and moan and fuss about the loathsome, worthless food, and never mind the fact that every time they were worried about water, God would open up a rock or create water out of nothing for them to drink. And never mind the fact that this food that they called loathsome and worthless was the daily bread that God was giving them, miraculously, providing for them one single day at a time. Whining and complaining. And so, what does God do? He sends serpents among the people. And as those serpents bite and inject their deadly, fiery poison of death, the people have that venom coursing through their veins. And how many of them do you suppose watched as their loved ones, as their friends, as their relatives succumbed to the death and the poison? But God didn't want this judgment to be the end of His people. That God sent this judgment to wake the people up, to bring them back to repentance, and finally they do come to repentance. They go back to Moses and they say, "We've sinned against God and against you. Pray for us to the Lord, that He might take these serpents away so that we don't all die." And so Moses prays. And what does God tell him to do? He tells him to make of all things a fiery bronze serpent. Why that? He tells him to make a serpent and set it on a pole so that if anyone is bitten, he can look at that image of what had just bitten him and slithered away. He could look at that image and live. Now, it seems a little bit rude for God to have this be the thing for them to look for, to look at, to receive healing. You get bitten by something, you get a little bit scared of it, right? Why would God want them to look at what had just bitten them, what had just poisoned them? What is good about looking at the curse to be saved from the curse? When something hurts you, you naturally try to avoid it. And yet God gives them only this image. He connects this image with His promise, with His Word. And you can imagine the people hearing Moses come back saying, "Here's your remedy, look at this and you'll live." And people say to Moses, "What are you, insane?" That's what's causing our pain. Why would we look to that? How could this silly little thing help us? And I wonder how many people, out of just blatant unbelief, refuse to look and refuse to live. And yet, as ridiculous as it sounds, God gave this bronze serpent. You could almost even call it an idol, and in fact it became an idol later in Israel's history. It had to be destroyed. But God gave them this image to look at. Is it strange? Absolutely. Is it odd? Sure. But it was God's sign. It was God's remedy, and he attached his promise. He attached his word to it. And what other cure was there? Nothing. No matter how absurd, no matter how foolish it seemed, that image, that bronze serpent, brought healing, and it brought life. And now in this text, Jesus takes that story and he broadens it to all humanity. Jesus says that God has given one sign of his love and of his care to all humanity. There's only one place to look for the cure of the venom of sin that courses through our veins, the venom of sin that leads us to death. There's only one place to look, and that's to Jesus, lifted up on a pole on the cross. Just as the people of Israel were bitten with that venomous, fiery poison, so are we. The only cure that exists is Jesus on the cross. The only cure, the only remedy for us to behold is beaten, bloodied Jesus dying on the cross. Only there is forgiveness and life and healing. God's given us this sign, this one sign, as a token of his love. Where else could we look to see God's love except to Jesus lifted up on the cross and hanging on a tree? In John 3:16, maybe the most recognized verse of the Bible, it's one of those verses that we can neglect because it's so familiar to us. We need to hear it again fresh. We need to look at it new. Sarah and I were down in the cities for a wedding this weekend, and on Friday we went to the jewelry store where we bought our wedding bands, and we had them cleaned. And it's amazing how quickly already the clean and the shine fades, but you get it back all clean and shiny, and it's like brand new. And you can look at it from all the different angles and see the beauty in it. So today, just one portion, please, of John 3:16. Let's look at it fresh. And it's the little word, so. A lot of times we hear this word, and we think it's just a skip-over word. It doesn't really matter, it's just a filler. It needs to be there, so it's there. And so often we think that this word so should be taken in for God so much loved the world. And yet that's not what the word actually means. The word means in this way. For God in this way loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. How did he give him? He gave him as Moses lifted up the serpent. He gave Jesus on the cross. In this way, God loved the world, that he gave Jesus on the cross for you, so that whoever believes in him, including you, would not perish, but have eternal life. This is God's universal sign of love. Jesus crucified is God's eternal sign for you, to show you that God came into this world. And what would we expect if God showed up right now? I think most of us would expect more of the fiery serpent entry. And yet God came into the world not to condemn the world, but so that the world might have life through Jesus. And so whatever it is you're going through, look to God's one and only sign that his love for you doesn't change based upon how you're doing at any given moment. When times are good, look to Jesus crucified for you. When you're upset and angry with God, look to Jesus, crucified for you. When you feel the pains of sin and death, look to Jesus, crucified for you. Look to the Son of God, lifted up upon the cross as the remedy, as the salve for all of your woes, all of your aches, for all of your pains, even for your looming and at hand death. Look at Him dying on the cross so that you may not die, but so that you may live and have everlasting life. Because this is God's one and only everlasting sign of His love for you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and into eternity. Amen. Please stand.